But I will most gladly spend and be spent myself for your souls, even though loving you more, I be loved less. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable sisters, dear parishioners, I would like to speak about the saints today, and specifically about the North American martyrs, and also about our patron, St. Michael, whose feast is upcoming. And these words of St. Paul from the 2 Corinthians ring so true for the North American martyrs who were put to death by hostile Indians in most cruel ways. And why? Because they brought them the gospel. They loved these people's souls, and they were willing, they were so zealous for these pagan Indians to bring them the light of the gospel that they accepted this risk and underwent the most terrible sufferings and death. And as St. Paul says, even though loving you more, I be loved less by you, again, is so applicable, because at least the ones that were hostile to the gospel didn't understand, but it was true love, absolutely true love, that made the missionary Jesuits labor for their conversion and accept the sufferings. So the inspiration for us, my dear brethren, is to live a life of daily faithfulness. And in spiritual writings, it's often called a dry martyrdom. We may or may not be called to the martyrdom such as the North American martyrs endured. And if it happens, as our Lord says, we should even rejoice to have that kind of faith, to rejoice that we are called to suffer great things for Christ. But everyone is called to at least dry martyrdom, and that is the daily faithfulness to God, the daily keeping of his commandments, the daily sacrifices of our condition in life, whatever it may be, whatever vocation we have. And those who are faithful to that in that daily way, they receive a reward of martyrdom as well. Remember, on Palm Sunday, we all receive a palm, a blessed palm. And it's a symbol of the reward given to all those who were faithful to the end. And the only way we can be faithful in the greater things is to be faithful in the smaller things. So there's the secret of sanctity always, faithfulness in the little things. And we will then be more faithful in the greater things. So the North American martyrs, as all the martyrs and all the saints of the church, they are the inspiration for us every day to be faithful to God, to keep persevering in the fight against sin. Have trust in God. Have trust in the power of God's grace, which is always greater than any challenge that could ever face us. The more uncertainty we may feel or worry or concern, yes, we should be prepared, practically speaking, but more than anything else, we have to put our daily trust in Almighty God and our Blessed Mother. Always grow in that trust in God and our Blessed Mother. But again, the example of faithfulness of today's saints is so inspiring. their love for these souls. And that's what the missionaries wanted. They were not there for the people's gold or any land possessions or anything like that. They were there. We are here for your souls. You read about that in the missionaries that came here to the Pacific Northwest. So inspiring what the Jesuits did, how they converted whole tribes. I'm not aware of any of them that were martyrs in this particular section of the country, but it was risky. But what drove the Jesuit missionaries here in the Pacific Northwest to found St. Michael's Mission, which was located up closer to Newport, but was later moved right here over by Palmer Road, right here. This is where Father Cataldo, as the superior of the Pacific Northwest Missions, coordinated things. By the way, I always can't help but smile when you think of Father Cataldo, how he was told, I think by his father and by others, you know, you're not going to live very long. Your health is quite poor. And many people continue to say this to him during life. And when he died at the ripe old age of 91, having labored his whole life for the conversion of the Indians. And I like what he said. He said, I've been praying for the repose of the soul of all these people that told me I wasn't going to live very long. So he's buried here at Mount St. Michael in the older section of the, at least in the older section of the Jesuit cemetery, and I do urge you to visit them this week, today, because this is the legacy they left for us here. It's sad to say that Vatican II took its devastating toll on the Jesuits. You know, when they moved in 1915, they were already planning to expand the building. There were so many vocations, but by 1970, 5 years after Vatican II, they moved the Scholastics out, and now they were planning to get rid of the mount after seeing it would be too much difficulty for them to maintain it. They weren't using it anymore. So what a cautionary tale. And yes, I believe the Vatican II very much damaged the idea of faithfulness. Faithfulness to tradition, faithfulness in the little things. But anyway, we know that Mount St. Michael took its name from the original name of the patron given for this area, and to this day we glory in having the great St. Michael be our patron. And he is also deputed to have a special leadership role in the latter times. It's in the spiritual battle that we have to fight. So before I end my sermon today, I would just like to share Scriptures, the few references there are to St. Michael. And he's mentioned four times and twice in the book of Daniel. And interestingly, this is one of the books that the Jews rejected because it was written in Greek. And then later on, Martin Luther rejected the book of Daniel along with six others and parts of two others. So they consider it apocryphal, but the Catholic Church has always said that this is truly the Word of God. It's revealed by God, and we faithfully believe it. So in the book of Daniel, in two places, we have this reference to St. Michael. So just to share with that a little bit with you. So we find it in chapter 10 of the book of Daniel, in verse 13. And this is, you have to remember, this is written in prophetical style. And it's sometimes hard to discern exactly what the fulfillment of the prophecy will look like. And sometimes prophecies are fulfilled both in history that has passed by already and history that is yet to come. It has two meanings. So I'm not here to give you my analysis of how these prophecies exactly apply, but realize that they do consider, or that they do, have meaning in the past and also in the future. In verse 13 of chapter 10, "But the prince of the kingdom of the Persians resisted me 1 and 20 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there near the king of the Persians." So Saint Michael directly assisted the prophet Daniel in the Old Testament. In chapter 12, and this has several more references, and I share this with you in case you're not able to come to Mass on the feast of St. Michael, but do honor him in a special way that day. But anyway, chapter 12, "But at that time shall Michael rise up, the great prince, who standeth for the children of thy people, and a time shall come such as never was from the time that nations began, even until that time. And at that time shall thy people be saved, every one that shall be found written in the book." What does that expression mean, those whose names are written in the book? What are we talking about, a physical book? No, it's the spiritual, metaphorical book where God's faithful people's names are. And how do we get there? As I said earlier, by our daily faithfulness and service to God. "And many of those that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some unto life everlasting, and others unto reproach." So there's more about this, but again, it's very interesting, this reference to St. Michael, and since it talks about the future, that means St. Michael has that special role of being a patron and a helper and an inspiration in the battle against evil. Our very own patron of Mount St. Michael. And I won't read these from Scripture, but we also have two more references. The Epistle of St. Jude, where it talks about St. Michael and the devil fighting over the body of Moses. Why would they fight over the body of Moses? St. Jude tells us this struggle took place. And it was God's will that the body of Moses be hidden. So that's what St. Michael was struggling for, and he won because the body of Moses stayed hidden. The devil wanted to use it as an opportunity to tempt the people in the Old Testament to idolatry, because he did so much for them. And remember, they were prone to falling into idol worship, and God did not want them to have access to the body of Moses, so they would lessen that danger of worshiping Moses. They're supposed to worship God. And then in the Apocalypse, in chapter 12, it's about the great battle in heaven, and that took place a long time before, even before the creation of the human race. But the Apocalypse gives us an overview from the beginning to the end, so that's why it relates the battle between Saint Michael and the fallen angels after they rebelled against God. God told Saint Michael and the good angels to throw those wicked angels who refused to submit to God out of heaven. So anyway, just wanted to share this bit with you about St. Michael to help you prepare for his great feast. And again, grow in your devotion to St. Michael. This is providential. Any parish that you may belong to, well, in this case it's St. Michael, but you've belonged to other parishes in the past, God wanted you to have a special devotion to that patronal saint of the parish. So we are all called, since we are here, to have a particular devotion to St. Michael. So definitely I hope and pray that you will continue to grow in that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.